What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Building the Board, as Danny Meehan and I are going to take you through our first crop of linebackers, which, by the way, Danny, 10 linebackers, that's a lot of linebackers, especially when you separate out all the 3-4 outside linebackers. But just like running backs, this is going to be an outrageously fun episode. The Bears have probably already filled their linebacking spot, but we're talking about a Matt Eberflus-led team, so who's to say? Danny, we got 10 linebackers. I'm excited to go through it with you. You doing all right today?
Oh, we're doing great. Rob, how about yourself?
I'm doing all right. Let's kick this thing off quick with former 5-star linebacker out of Clemson, Trenton Simpson. 6'2 and 1/8, 235. Danny, when you watch his tape, what do you see?
A completely natural coverage linebacker, real fluid athlete. And he has, like, it's not just the testing. It shows up on film. He can turn and run. He's got real easy, like, transitioning from flipping his hips and his ankles and running with receivers. Like, there's nothing he can't do coverage-wise. Like, he might be one of the better coverage linebackers we've seen come out in some time, like, just in terms of his natural instinct and ability to do it. He's been pretty productive. He has some pretty good blitzing tendencies when they actually unleash him that way. But they don't. It's not something he's asked to do all that often. And then you get to kind of like the parts of him that are weird for a guy that's such a highly talked about prospect. And I'm trying to think of how to say this. Maybe you can word it better. But risk adverse almost feels like it when he's filling his keys in the running lanes and shooting gaps, because he's not necessarily the most physical man. I don't know how else to really describe it.
I liked contact averse.
Contact averse.
Okay. Let's be honest here, Danny. We like to make football about all the collisions as if we're talking about gladiatorial robots that are starved for blood. But these are human beings that learn to play the position one way or another. Trent Simpson clearly learned to play it like a safety that now plays at a linebacker weight, and it is natural. I'll tell you what, Danny, nobody else in this class that you sent me comes close to the level of anticipation within coverage that Simpson shows, where he'll break on a guy before the ball's out, and he's right. I mean, he's not fooled by play action. He follows the play well. He plays as if he has traveled back in time, already read the game script, and is just trying not to give it away. Right?
It's like the Luke Kuechly thing from years ago, where he had your playbook before you did.
Exactly. It's awesome. He just doesn't want to scrap with a lineman that's 75 pounds heavier than him.
He doesn't want to scrape through contact to get to the ball carrier. It's just not what he does.
And when a running back steps up to block him on a blitz, you know what? I didn't really want to get to the quarterback anyways. And he'll just stop. I mean, he'll throw an initial hit and he will, I don't want to say he'll stop moving, but he'll immediately go into like bat the ball down mode. And you know what? With the rest of the talent that he shows inside of a 3-4, Danny, that's going to be fine. He's not going to have to take on contact all that often. But as a 4-3 will linebacker, I just don't know if it would work.
I have trouble seeing him in a 40 front defense. I really do. Like, it seems like he needs the more classic Mike next to him inside that's willing to fight through the garbage and make the hard plays while he does the prettier stuff. The stuff that you don't really get credit for unless you make the interception or pass, break up the pass.
And speaking of, if he goes to a 3-4 defense, think like the Eagles or like the Ravens or all the other teams that are running it. Maybe he goes to Miami.
Could you imagine him next to Roquan?
Honestly, I could. Now, they'd need some beastly defensive linemen, but like, he is outrageously fast when he gets in a straight line, and he'll open it up every once in a while. Like, especially when he's chasing a play or something like a screen that leaks out, he will catch you. I mean, it is scary to watch out there. You can see why he's a 5-star candidate. Honestly, he's one of my favorite linebackers because I'm so coverage bent, but that comes from all this conversation with Brandon about safeties and corners that I've been doing in the background. We got to move on. So let's get to the second linebacker who you were sending comparisons. Bulldog. God, I love this guy. Henry Tuotuo from Alabama. the also 21-year-old will be 22 by the time the draft actually starts. Former four-star recruit, 6'1", 225. Danny, what do you see on his film?
When I watch him, he's a very good, if not plus, athlete. Like, he moves pretty well for his size. Not for his size. He's a smaller guy for a running back. But he explodes when he initiates contact at the point of attack, seemingly rapping, driving through them. Like, you know, the old John Lynch thing he used to say, I'm not hitting you, I'm hitting you and 10 of you behind you. He's coming with thunder when he's coming to hit you, when he's unabated. He's pretty natural in coverage, especially zone. Don't ask him to do too much in man. He doesn't really have that kind of turn run ability. If you ask him to just sit in his designed area, he's fine. Nothing too much. But he is very instinctive. And he's a natural leader too. I want to say he was a 2-time captain for that Alabama defense, if memory serves. I might be wrong on that though. Then you got to play the other side of the coin. He is very light for a linebacker. He has trouble anchoring when he's engaged on blocks. He's just going to get pushed out and washed out, which is going to be a common theme with a lot more linebackers as we get to this modern age, because they're effectively just bigger safeties now. Like the days of guys like Ray Lewis, and obviously you're talking all-time greats, but just these more stout, bigger linebackers are just not there anymore because they can't move the way a lot of these younger guys can, or lighter guys rather. The other thing that shows up is, for as much as he can be instinctive, he does get caught guessing, which leads to his football geometry, as it were, getting a little messed up. He overruns plays, or he'll take a bad route here or there to the ball carrier. But I really like him, what he could be. Like, it's always weird when you get into draft season and you compare, like, the first guy you did to the next one and the next one and the next one. He was literally the first prospect outside of Mo Abraham that I watched this year. So it's like, these notes are from months ago now at this point.
Right.
So it's like, do I need to go back and rehash them? Maybe. But I trust what I see. He is what he is, and it's kind of evident what he's not, if that makes sense.
Oh, Danny, I hate the fact that we're just going, because I can't think of a better way to do this. I don't want to actually organize a list based off some kind of theme, but for 202's sake, it sucks that we just talked about Trenton Simpson, because I think Trenton Simpson is the better min-maxed version of Henry 202's game, where 202's good in coverage, but he's not great. I mean, the way that you see Simpson sink into zones, get depth on his hook curl when he needs to, like,
be able to run with a tight end, whatever it might be.
All the stuff that Simpson can do, Tuatua can almost do, but not quite. And for as much as he's not perfect in coverage, you want to see him pick up the slack in the run game a little bit, and he tries. His body's just only capable of doing so much. Another thing that I can't help thinking is really important is that in the NFL, a linebacker has to be really agile, especially if you're going to play at that size. Mm-hmm. And Tua is great in a straight line, but when he has to stop and get back another direction, his game really suffers.
It slows him down. It's almost like he's thinking about how his body mechanics have to work.
Right.
It's weird.
Yeah. And it's not that makes him bad. This is a really good football player, but he's not somebody who I think you can take at the top of the second round, certainly not at the back end of the first round. And given that now we have to move on to our third linebacker, who you talked about how we're departing, we're departing into a lighter safety-esque age. Well, we've sandwiched Tuatua between two of the best linebackers in the class, as now it's time to talk about Irish Jack Campbell. Oh my gosh, Danny, what can't you say about Jack Campbell? If only because Campbell feels, if I can start off with this one,
sure, like
a love letter to old linebacking. Like, I mean, it's Jack Campbell is, I'll read off everything I know about him. Like, I mean, this guy is, sure, he's a former 3-star. I don't know how, but he's a little over 6'4". He's 250. He's only 22 years old. And he had one of the wildest combines that you could possibly have. Jack Campbell, and this is not a joke, Danny, 95th percentile in the three cone, 94th percentile in the broad jump, 84th percentile in the vert, while still being 67th percentile in the 40 and 66th percentile in the shuttle. I mean, this guy is an athletic maniac, and he plays like it. He's one of the only linebackers in this class that's not just going to take on an offensive lineman in the hole, but he might actually win. And if you send an H-back or a tight end through the hole to go get him, they are going to lose. I mean, his coverage needs a little bit of work. He doesn't have the instincts that some other guys do, and I do think he gets caught over-pursuing a lot, but part of that is probably because his coaches have told him he's an absolute missile when he puts his head down and just charges at you. And he plays with so much violence, it's hard not to just fall in love.
So it's funny you list all these things, and it's like I'm hearkening back to me scouting Chad Muma last year coming out of Wyoming. He's almost like if you took Chad Muma and just made him better.
Juiced him up.
Just juiced him up and gave him a lot of special juice, and it's like, here you go. We just made him better. And Chad Muma was a hell of a prospect
Very
in his own
good
right.
prospect.
Like, but this is just – It's become played out, but some of these guys literally feel like they were built in a science lab to play football.
Right.
And Jack Campbell feels like one of those kids. Like, he's fast. He's big. He's got a decent feel for zone coverage, and he fills the lanes without any regard for his body or hesitation. He's coming downhill, and he's going to stick his hat on you. He's a joy to watch play football. And like you said, he is like an ode to an era gone by because he doesn't care about his own body.
Oh, no. And I mean, the force he hits with makes me think you and I had a joke I sent you right before this this recording where I said if he'd been playing from 1994 to 2010, how many All-Pros do you think he's in contention for? And I mean, this guy could seriously have been in an age back then a top 10 pick. And the fact that you're able to steal a player like him, especially when you're running a retro system, kind of like the Bears are, I mean, if they didn't just spend $25 million on linebackers, this would be a real thought because he could probably play your Will linebacker spot without any real issue. And oh my gosh, the violence that he shows when he wants to. It's just going to be a matter of getting him up to speed in the NFL and moving on from there.
And to your point, he overruns plays. It's part of probably the aggression of which he's coached with. Like, dude, you can do things literally no one else in this country can do right now.
Yep.
Go get the ball.
And for crying out loud, Danny, if I could have a player like that, I'd ask him to do functionally the same thing. I'd say, like, if you think there's a play to be made, go get it. And I don't know how many of the other linebackers in this class I think that the offense would have to actually pay attention to. Like, I mean, it's not a diss. It's more that there are a lot of these guys that the quarterback may realize what their number is and have to start watching for them, but the running back might not. Jack Campbell, you're going to know 31 hits you because it's going to leave an imprint that you have to scrape off in the huddle.
Yeah, he's coming with some thunder, man. He's a joy to watch play football, and probably – if you're being realistic, the only one that maybe has an argument to be a first-round linebacker at this point in the draft just because of the physical makeup. Like, you can't coach those things, unfortunately.
I wonder if there would be some team that would think themselves into Trenton Simpson in the first round.
The coverage ability.
They would have to be a 3-4 team that was trying to get really ahead of the curve. But – when we talk about violence, there's another name we have to bring up. It's an Alabama transfer to Arkansas, Drew Sanders, who, I mean, Danny, this guy's big, he's fast, and he is violent with a capital V. What do you see when you watch his tape?
So Sanders is probably my personal favorite linebacker to watch in this class because I wrote down he's a cracked-out condor of a linebacker. It feels like he has never-ending tree vines for arms if you watch him play. Like, he's got these long arms, this big, tall frame. I think he's close to Jack Campbell's height. He's 6'4 and change, I believe. I'm not entirely sure. I just have it written down of what it was on the team site.
6'4 and change is correct. 6'4 and 1/8.
Okay. So, and he's the best part about him is similar to Campbell. I don't know if his motor knows an idle. He is always revving his RPMs up to the red with how he plays football. He has some ability to rush the passer, actually. I think they used him in that capacity almost on purpose because he did have such a natural feel as a pass rusher on top of being an off-ball linebacker. I don't think that's how I would personally deploy him. And it's actually funny because I've caught flack for not disliking the Tremaine Edmonds signing, but questioning how they got to that point of signing him. because if there's a player I watch that reminds me a little of Tremaine Edmonds just in terms of raw physical ability on the football field, it's actually Drew Sanders. He reminds just the way he moves around, like if you could deploy him a certain way, the ability to like really kind of have almost like a mismatch at linebacker that just makes him hard to say, hey, he's the Mike or he's the Will. Just yep. block him, do what you're supposed to do. Now, that being said, he's a little lean. He's got to get bigger. But he's I want to say he's still a pretty young linebacker himself.
He
in terms of newer to the position. Isn't he newer to the position? I think I remember reading that about him.
Well, he would make the argument that he is because he would say that he was switching from a 3-4 inside match coverage linebacker to something that better resembles a 4-3 with a Mike linebacker. So you know how they are. He would tell you that he's playing a different position, but still linebacker. He's 21. At the very least, and he will be 21. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that, I mean, he comes through with a 5-star pedigree, obviously. They had him listed as a 4-star transfer. I cite all of these just in case somebody cares. Like, if it doesn't mean anything to you, you don't have to care. But I'll tell you, at least what I've seen, Sanders is one of those guys. Some of the best linebackers of the run game are the linebackers that can be whatever weight they need to be when they make contact. You'll see some linebackers that it doesn't matter that they're listed. I'll give you an example. TJ Edwards, most recent Bears signing, he's listed at 230. The lineman would probably think he's 290 based on the way he hits people. And Sanders is very similar in that when he hits an offensive lineman and when he tries to work around you on a blitz, he's one of the only linebackers that I've seen in this class that when he makes contact with an offensive lineman, he won't just give up and stand there. He will try to work around the offensive lineman because he has the height, he has the leverage, he has the arm length to actually try to do something. And it makes it hell on running backs that try to block him when he blitzes from other spots instead of just the interior. I do wonder if Sanders is hiding and Saban not really wanting him. Not because Saban would hate him, but because I don't feel like the coverage, like, piece of his game was near as natural as a lot of the match quarter stuff that they want to run in Alabama. But that's not me trying to dunk on Sanders. It's more pointing out that Sanders is a special, special anti-run athlete. And the Alabama just doesn't really want that in their like back seven. So I can understand both sides being okay with that, but it'll be interesting to see where Sanders ultimately fits in. And now we've got a completely different player to talk about as we go to the University of Texas, our first Big 12 linebacker to talk through, as DeMarvion Overshown rises to the forefront here. He is a former 4-star recruit. He's 22. He's one of the older linebackers, will be 23 come week one. 6'2", 230, really big, really fast. What do you see when you watch his tape?
Kind of like we were talking about earlier, the first thing that really stood out when I watched him, other than the pure straight line, like he's a linear athlete. Mm-hmm. He can go real fast in a straight direction. But another kind of contact-adverse linebacker, he doesn't really want anything to do with being blocked or sifting through traffic, stacking and shedding, getting kind of mixed up in the junk, as it were. Because in a way, like for lack of a better term, you almost want linebackers, whether their weight or whether they play to their weight class or not, to be junkyard dogs. You got to play through the garbage. It's the nature of the position.
Right.
So, but other than that, like he's pretty natural in coverage. I feel like he's not great, but he seems to have a natural intuition to him when he plays it. He does fill the hole with conviction when he knows he's going to meet the ball carrier. It's when he has to really fight through anything that's not the ball carrier.
It's a blocker. He doesn't want to know.
Like, if Moro Ojomo is not eating up who's in front of him and he's getting a free run to goal DeMarvion here, he's going to have a bad time. But he does fill with conviction. I do wonder, given his linear ability, does he have a pass rush potential to him where you could kind of make him a de facto Sam on downs and just say, hey kid, go get the quarterback? I don't think they really exploited that much at Texas. I just wonder if he could do it.
Well, I can tell you they tried, Danny. They kept trying to flat make him an edge rusher. You'd see him get all the way into the 3-point stance, and it did not work
at 220 pounds.
Yes. This is real. Go watch the Alabama game if you don't believe me. But
that seems like a really bad idea.
Part of me wonders whether they were just doing it as a gimmick way to occupy one of the tackles, where if you could send DeMarvion Overshown at the Alabama's right tackle, for instance, then that opens up a 5-on-4 for the rest of your defensive line, sure, and a couple other blitzers without, you know, the tackle getting to choose, because you can't just let this guy fly around you. But I don't know. I only know how to say my next point one way, Danny. There are some people that they look like they're very well coached, but they lack instinct. There are other players that look like they have a lot of instinct, but maybe the coaching's not there. And Overshown looks to me like somebody who could be become Bobby Okereke, but is not yet Bobby Okereke. Like,
you know who he kind of reminded me of, to your point, who? Is Telvin Smith a little bit.
Right.
Coming out of Florida State. Long, limmy, light linebacker. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can coach him up, sure.
Right. He's raw, but yeah, you can't teach being 6'4". And having arms, look, the spider charts on Mock Draftable have started to break because linebackers are just a lot less lengthy than they used to be. Like, the long ones in the class have 50th percentile arms, and the short ones in the class have 10th percentile arms.
Yep.
And so, obviously, it's not been true forever, but at least in this case, we don't have any of those true old-school Tremaine Edmonds, Bobby Okereke freaks, right? Mm-hmm. But Overshown, if you took
except for Jack Campbell. Yeah, he says
for Jack Campbell. Even he, actually, even he, his arms are 34th percentile. So, it's everybody, man.
Maybe if Jack cared more, his arms would grow.
Maybe if he cared more, his arms would grow. But Overshown strikes me as a project linebacker that you could probably get a lot out of. He's in that, Joel Iebunewe like range, but I think a little bit better, where you're looking at the athlete.
Justify taking someone like that.
You're looking at the athlete. You're looking at what he could be, knowing that at least in Overshown's case, he's already a better football player out of the box than Iebunewe, who, I mean, he still can't find the ball, like probably still to this day. I mean, that was always his problem. But that's more of like a, us writing PhD dissertations on what linebacking is and isn't. So we'll keep that conversation for later.
To a different time.
Yeah. I like Overshown, but we got a lot of Will linebackers in this class. We do not have as many Mike linebackers as you might have anticipated.
Yeah, there's, I mean, truly the only one I really watched that I thought Mike was Campbell. Like,
technically Aubrey Miller, who we'll talk about later, but that's because if you put him at Will, you'd be wasting a player. Like, yeah, we'll get there
when we get there. Yes, we got some players to get to.
Next, we got Diane Henley. So he's from Wazoo, which I always like writing. He's just over 6 foot, plays at 225. He's also relatively old at 23, and he's actually a former two-star recruit, Danny, if you can believe it.
And you know what I really like about him?
What?
He's a converted wide receiver.
Ooh. Ooh.
So when you watch him, he's very natural in how he runs with receivers, almost looking like he's mirroring them like a big corner at times, because he's just – it's what he grew up doing. I believe he played wide receiver and quarterback before coming to the linebacker position. So he's not big by any stretch. I think he's still got to get his quote-unquote NFL body, but there's always that worry of how big can a 6 foot, 225 pound guy get without sacrificing what makes him special. Here we go. Another one of the, he's a tweaked out active linebacker is one of the first things I had written down about him. He's running all over the place, and the natural ability to run and flip his hips is right there. It's there for you to see. He does have longer arms for his height. And the other thing is that's always going to play in your favor as a guy who is going to have to earn reps as a third or fourth round linebacker.
Right.
Special teams. He played special teams. And in my opinion, your best special teamers are always going to be running backs, tight ends, linebackers, guys that just run and are big. go find the ball. It's not asking them to do a whole lot, you know?
Right.
And then honestly, the weakness is it shows sometimes he's a new linebacker. He needs work with his technique, as he sometimes gets a little grabby with his arms versus trying to finish the hit. Slender and slim. And the big thing I wrote was remedial football geometry. He's such an athlete and he knows it. that his tackling angles and his understanding of how he should get somewhere
right.
is not necessarily there.
Right. And I mean, it only gets tougher from here, Danny. I'll be the first to tell you, I haven't watched Henley. Henley was one of the two guys in this group that you sent me that I didn't manage to get to. But all the same, I mean, we've seen better athletes like Kyler Gordon, for instance, that went from in college, I can do whatever I want to in the NFL. These guys run by me. What the heck? This has never happened to me before. And when you're already playing catch up at the college level, now granted, there's a positional switch involved. So there's reason to get excited about somebody like him, but you're going to have to see how he how he translates, especially because, to use an example, Darius Rush, the corner from South Carolina, if you know anything about him, he is a converted wide receiver. He came to SC as a wide receiver, but corner is so valuable a position. You will work with a true project. Because if you find yourself a starting corner, it is well worth it. This is with Henley where you start to beg the question on how valuable is linebacker that I could theoretically go, like, do I want to deal with the growing pains?
And the question is, how much do you value what he does well? But obviously, right. being the small linebacker who can cover has its perks.
It's an easy
transition in that regard. But part of being a linebacker is scraping through stuff and going to make the hit.
Right.
And he doesn't do that well enough at times.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to tell you, if Sanders is my guy, Dian Henley is my second one of someone I just thoroughly enjoyed. But it's going to take a coaching staff with a Borgonzi or an Eberflus on it to really probably teach him how to play linebacker still.
Right.
Especially when you go to the Pac-12 and they don't play defense really. They don't care about it.
Anything with a 12 in it. Love my Big 12 guys, but it's an epidemic. And speaking of linebackers that don't really sift through the bodies well, let's talk about Auburn's Owen Pappo, who is a darling in the eyes of many. Which is not to, you know, suggest we're about to burst a bubble, but he's just over 6 foot. He's actually shorter than Henley is. Also plays at 225. He's 22, former 5-star recruit. When you watched the film, what did you see?
Someone who has no idea what he's doing with football. I wrote down, he is an uncalibrated, rogue, heat-seeking missile. I don't think he's a bad football player, and it's a lot of times, as you and I were talking pre-show, Robert, that with the sideline-to-sideline ability and the ability to run, he's a really athletic linebacker. Where does his fault begin and his fault end? Because Auburn is not good. He spent his entire football-playing career of Auburn on a bad defense in a terrifically hard conference. So I don't know if the issues that are showing up on tape are because he's trying to overcompensate and do so much because he knows he's one of the more talented members of that defense, or is it him just legitimately not knowing what to do at times because he's just not an instinctual football player? Because a lot of times, especially when I watch him, I feel like I can see the hamster on the wheel rolling. Like, where am I supposed to go? Like, I'm thinking, and it almost makes him like a tick late. And then it's the other end of it when he's not thinking, he's just guessing. I think there is some natural coverage ability there, but he's for someone that clearly has gifts that other guys in this class don't have, he's really frustrating at times to watch.
You got me thinking, Danny, because as much as I want to pretend like I know the whole story, I just realized that the game that I watched of Pappo comes from 2021. So I watched him a year ago where I thought he looked instinctive. I thought he looked like he didn't really want to, you know, hit anybody that wasn't uncovered. But we live with this in the modern day and age. He looks stiff. I think that his mind knows where he wants to go, and sometimes his hips just can't get there. But it has me wondering, because like you're saying, Auburn's really struggled, whether there was a defensive coaching change or some kind of philosophy shift that he just didn't catch up with. This would remind me, for instance, Danny, of a Dontavian Wicks-esque story to make another comparison to wide receiver, where Wicks' tape looks dramatically better in 2021. 2021 than it does in 2022 because the scheme shifted. Now, I'm not an expert on Auburn, and I hate putting a podcast together where I truly don't know all the facts, but that's a question that I would want an answer to before I come to a final grade on somebody like Papo, because if his 21 tape is better, well, another thing that may also hold him back, Danny, is that I know he had a pretty major ankle injury to finish the 2021 season. And when you miss eight games with an ankle, who's to say it's going to come back all the way? I mean, silly.
And does that have something? And is that something that hinders his ability to turn and run? And that's where you're seeing the stiffness show up.
Because like you're talking about, right, Danny, I mean, I understand that these NFL athletes are superhuman and that they don't have anything to really compare to little old me, but my first even semi-relevant injury happened probably 2 years ago now, where a friend of mine and I were at like a children's museum sort of thing in Dallas. It's called the Perot Museum. It's neither here nor there, where I got the chance to race a virtual Patrick Mahomes, and I took it without stretching and popped my hamstring. Like, it's just a pull, probably, if I had to guess, like a mid-grade pull. And my hamstring, it still does not feel normal. Like, we like Danny to make it out like, oh, well, Pepo's medically cleared. He played the 2022 season. Like, he must have been healthy, right? And it's like, it depends on what you mean by healthy in a football sense, right?
Right, exactly. And that's a really excellent point in terms of, where was his health level and why was the contact aversion there? Is it because he didn't trust himself to anchor down and square up with someone? Like, you don't know because you're not in their head. And obviously he's never going to tell you, oh yeah, my ankle was bad. I'm not trying to square up with a fullback in the hole. He's never going to say that. Like, and that's fine. It's not like I dislike Papo the player. The term I use for him, because I see all the gifts and everything, is he's just frustrating because it's like, right, you want him to be so much better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Danny, we're talking about, for those who don't know, somebody who was 92nd percentile on the bench, 90th percentile on the broad jump, 68th percentile in the vert, 98th percentile in the 40, and 96th percentile in the 10-yard split. The athleticism's there, but Danny, linebacking is not an underwear and shorts position. Like,
it's not. It's why some of these guys who are 2 on the RAS scale can have long, productive careers.
Jack Sanborn made a bunch of tackles off truly like grit and desire. I mean, it's so silly to talk about, isn't it? Right?
The way you describe that reminds me of that really famous quote from the movie Remember the Titans, where the defensive coordinator literally screams, "Defense is desire."
Right.
And it's true to an extent.
Wants to hit the quarterback really badly. He wants to hit the quarterback more than you, so to speak. Jack Sanborn wants to get to the edge before you get there, and he's got like, I think, a sub-1 RAS. Like, it's not as simple and it's not as complicated as we ever make it. But with somebody like Papo, the tape and coverage, I'll tell you, I like it, but I don't like it as much as some of these other guys who, again, feel that much more natural. Because look, I mean, the hardest part about playing linebacker, Danny, is that linebackers are the ones who have to deal with the 90-degree routes more than anybody else.
You know who he kind of reminds me of as I'm thinking on it, just build and everything? Shaquem Griffin coming out of South Florida. Like, a little bit like that. Super twitched up, fast, unbelievable athlete, but just like, does he football? Can he football?
Right. If a coach thinks he can, they may make him something. But
any coach worth their salt is going to see that, and he's going to probably be overdrafted just because of what he can do.
Wouldn't surprise me if he ends up in the third round for exactly that reason.
Not even a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And then as we move from there, we get to Dorian Williams, who is another crazy twitched up athlete. But I get the impression that this kid from Tulane, he's just over 6 foot. Well, actually, he's a little closer to 6'1". He's 228 pounds. He's 21. We're talking about functionally the same player body type, right? Because he's another guy who ran an insanely fast 40, 94th percentile 40-yard dash, 68th percentile broad jump, 47 vert, 92 percentile in arm length, and this guy loves football. I mean, if he falls to the fourth round,
he's fun, isn't he?
He's fun. He's
like,
fun.
With a capital F. Like, he's just fun.
Depending on how much Floose cares about wingspan compared to just arm length, he's the kind of guy that if he falls far enough, I imagine the Bears would be legitimately interested.
I could imagine that too, especially because, like, for a littler guy, he doesn't mind squaring you up and meeting you and taking on blocks. He doesn't care. Like you said, he clearly just loves playing football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's – some guys, they're – it feels dumb to say, but it's like some guys just feel like they're meant to play the position.
Mm-hmm.
He probably wasn't meant to ever play anywhere else. That's just how he plays football.
It's impossible for me to find penalty logs, like, because I'm just watching all 22, right? And so when they throw a flag, the ball moves, and it's like, it just leaves me to figure out what the penalty was. I think at one point he took a low hit penalty because he tried to dive through the knees of a lineman he'd already engaged with to then take out the lineman, sneak under him, and shoestring the running back who was passing right behind him, which he did do. So
he accomplished the feat.
Like, I mean, this guy wants to get you, you know, like he just sees ways to try to tackle whoever has the ball. He's way more instinctive than coverage than you'd think. I don't think he's played in a complex enough system to have some of the experience that these guys at AAA programs have. Mm-hmm. Because when you go to Alabama, you're playing match quarters. When you go to Clemson, you're playing a complex 3-4 that challenges you within an NFL role. Whereas he's playing in a 4-3. Right, he's playing stand in that center zone as the weak linebacker and pass things along, and occasionally he stops moving his feet because nobody's in his zone. But instead of like getting depth, instead of finding work, instead of, I think, a lot of the things that he'd learn at a program that's trying to make you NFL ready, he's just not there yet. So there's a little bit of project in
he's
him
not, but and he does. He does have juice, man, and he has like the Bobby Boucher thing. He has tackling fuel. He wants he wants to tackle you. It's just what he wants to do. He wants to tackle you.
And it's so fun because you geek guys, this is our big segue, like Aubrey Miller from Jackson State, who we'll talk about next, and you just wish that they had the speed and the physical gifts that that somebody like Dorian Williams has. So Aubrey, making clear that we're transitioning, is also listed at 225. I can't find his age, no matter how hard I look.
I couldn't find it either, for what it's worth.
He is a senior, so there's that.
Fifth-year senior, I believe. I
imagine he's old, is what I'm
so he's probably like 20. Call him 22, 23.
Right. Listed at 6'2", and... Danny, this guy can't hit without the hit stick. That's a positive thing. Like, if he touches you, you're going to just like explode.
Yeah, he's thunderous, man.
It
feels like every hit's going to send someone to the ER.
Seriously, it does.
Like, it does. Yeah.
He's a linebacker straight out of Blitz the League. The problem is that his speed rating would be like a 50. If we were sticking with the Blitz,
he was meant to be like in those, like, do you remember like watching those old, like, late 80s, early 90s highlights with the big, like, transformer
neck roll guy
and the big neck roll or the helmet plate in the back?
Yeah.
That's him. That's who he'd be.
Like, in today's modern NFL, he's never going to dream of catching Khalil Herbert. Like, even with a couple, like, stridelings head start. Like, the running backs that are out there, the Donta Foremans, even I don't know, pick your poison.
That would actually, you say that, but him shooting the B gap with Deontay Foreman coming through the same hole, be a fun collision to watch.
A really fun collision. The problem is that as soon as Kyle Shanahan or Mike McDaniel realize that they can put you under the microscope, you are going to lose a game. Like,
they're going to abuse you.
Yeah. I have a real issue with the football players, Danny, where I can see a hard red flag, like a bleeding, sopping red flag, like a non-starter. You know what I'm saying? And Aubrey's total lack of ability to move around freaks me out.
Well, because I'm one of the guys, even then, like, just passing wise, if you even try to put him out there, I'll just put a running back and say, go cover him.
Angle route.
Angle route. Halfback wheel route. Are you going to run with him? No.
What's he going to do against Travis Homer? Because we could say, like, we could act like this is Saquon Barkley he has to cover. The most of the NFL, as we transition a little more towards running back by committee, is going to start to put these guys. It's not just Austin Eckler. Everybody has a Tariq Cohen. Everybody has, like, a Miles Sanders. Somebody who can break even just a little bit, Danny. And somebody like Aubrey Miller is either going to take a holding penalty, and that might be the best case scenario. Or they're going to get cooked, and you're going to have a running back who, like, I mean, Danny, these guys dream of getting the ball in the open field, and there they will be in the open field, already have 6 yards, and you break one tackle, and Dave Montgomery shows us you could pick up literally any first down in the game, no matter the distance, if you just get one or two guys to miss. And if Aubrey's a free miss, that's a huge problem when you're setting up any NFL defense.
And, like, it's one of those things. I have my strengths written down. I sent you my notes. Like, literally, it's, like, in order. Heady, instinctive linebacker, gets by on tricks and craftiness. Intelligent, clearly lives in the film room and understands where he should be and his role. Yes. This is a real it's the nicest possible way. It's the nicest possible way of saying he's not a good athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he – and then, like, weaknesses, I literally have written down competition level. Jackson State, was he playing? No one kind of cares.
Right.
It's Deion built it up and he left. Like, just the nature of it. And just two down thumper, lacking explosiveness, probably best suited to be a Sam. So he's only going to be asked at the next level if he makes it that far. And I hope he does, because he is a fun player. Just, he's going to be on the field, what, a quarter of the time? Maybe?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to make his bones on special teams. And that's hard when you're not fast.
Yep. It's really hard, Danny. I mean, these guys have to be special teamers. And when you look at a guy like Dorian Williams, not to thump the drum too hard, but at least he can gun for you. At least he can charge down the field and go level like one of those blockers that comes back on a punt return. There's a lot of things that he can do for you on teams. Whereas somebody like Aubrey Miller, it's just going to be a lot harder for him, because eventually he's going to either have to stand in his zone and cover a running back, a slot receiver on a drag, like an outside receiver on a drag.
Or a pick on the mesh point. So he's going to have to do something.
Justin Fields, he'll have to scrape to go stop Lamar Jackson or anybody else that the NFL, Anthony Richardson. These guys that the NFL is starting to output in read option offenses, Danny, it doesn't get any easier. I used I'm going to use a comparison. One of my favorite tight ends in the class, for his value, let's be clear, is Will Mallory. And
Will Mallory is awesome.
He ran one of the fastest 40s in the class this year. So he ran a 4.54 40. He is 239 pounds, which puts him in the fifth percentile in weight. So one of the lightest tight ends is still 15 pounds heavier than you are at linebacker. Yeah. And he's running a 40 that might be comparable. And if a tight end is outrunning you in any setting, like, you're going to get baked out there playing linebacker.
And it's one of those things. I know this sounds overly negative on him, but it's impossible to not see it. You can like everything else. You can like the fact that he might be the son of a coach. It's hard to find anything personal on him. You can love the instincts, and you can love everything about it. At the end of the day, like you said, it doesn't even need to be Kyle Shanahan. It doesn't need to be Kevin O'Connell. It could be Joe Judge or Matt Patricia calling plays last year would have seen him and been like, we are going to target him all day long. Because this is what the NFL is. It's exploiting matchups. You're only as good as your weakest link, right? Mm-hmm. If you have an easy guy to just target in the middle of the field, aren't you just going to do it?
And there's no better example of that exact conversation. I'm going to dredge up some bad memories, so just go ahead and get ready. Do you remember
you managed to do this every show? You know that, right?
That's because I generally have some kind of Bears comparison that pops into my head. And talking about, like, a linebacker lacking the requisite speed and coverage ability always reminds me of when Roquan got hurt in, I think it was 2019.
Yeah.
And so Josh Woods stepped in to fill the breach.
Nathan,
and the Packers just abused him. He must have given up 140 yards in coverage. Like, it was awful. Danny. And it wasn't Woods' fault, per se.
No.
It's just that the modern NFL is going to line up Aaron Jones, best case scenario. Worst case scenario, you have Devontae Adams in your zone. You have Justin Jefferson in your zone. It doesn't get easier. And so when Grambling State is exploiting a speed problem, I have an issue envisioning 31 NFL teams not doing the same. And again, none of this is said to suggest anything negative about the person that is Aubrey Miller Jr. He has worked hard to get to where he is. He got to play at the Senior Bowl. Like, he may get drafted, which
and
is
he has th- and he legitimately does have things to like.
Mm-hmm.
It's just he's gonna have to overcome certain things, and maybe he does. There are rare guys that have such a level of football intuition and understanding where it's just like they can get away with it. Jarvis Landry comes to mind, where he is not a requisite NFL athlete. He's just not.
Right.
He's one of the lowest RAS scores of all time, but his understanding of just how to play football, he got open.
Right.
Nothing about his pedigree, his profile, anything suggested Jarvis Landry should be any good at football at the NFL level.
But the only issue I have there, Danny, is that you and I both know it. At least a wide receiver gets to initiate and control the right. like relationship between him and the defender. A defender has to be able. There's a reason that these corners are all out there running 4.35 40s, right? There's a reason that these safeties are all benching 25, 30 reps while running 4.5s and low 4.4s or high 4.4s, I should say. It's because defenders just have a higher athletic burden than offensive players.
They do.
At least in my opinion, because
they do, especially because it's as with how complex offenses are becoming in a way, it's almost you're counterpunching at all points.
All the time.
Because you're always on the defense, for lack of a better, you're always in the defensive stance. You have everything's a counterpunch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seldom do you just get to be Yannick Ngakoue, who's like, you don't have any responsibility, dude.
Right.
Beat your one-on-one, kill the quarterback. That's your job. Those guys are rare, though.
Yep. I mean, and when they are, they're only rare because they're good enough at something that's so important, like pass rush.
Right.
And at linebacker... Linebacker is similar to tight ends in the same way that I know me and Q were talking about it, where it's an unfair position, especially nowadays, where you have to carry more weight. You have to do as much as they did, like at safety or at corner. And you also have to go toe-to-toe with offensive linemen that hate you. And they have somewhere between 60 and 80 pounds on you. But you'd better be physical with them anyways if you want to get coaches' attention. And
it feels like an impossible task at times unless you're one of the special ones like Campbell, which is the guy you're going to come back to in this class because he does things other guys can't do.
Yep, exactly. And so we'll finish out the our initial linebacker conversation. Danny, tell me about Cervokia Dennis, the Pittsburgh linebacker, 6'0 and a half, 225, a lot of 225 linebackers in this class. He is 23, so he's on the older side. Yep. Tell me about him.
Productive. Couple-year starter. I want to say he was a team captain as well. A lot of things to like in that regard in terms of coaches, especially later round picks. Coaches love, for lack of a better term, the coach's pet. Guys that you know they're going to come to work. They're going to watch their film. They're going to do what's asked of them. They're not going to ruffle feathers. He's got a really good processor, probably by virtue of the fact that he has to be. He's not the most fleet of foot, which is just a nice way of saying he's slow. But strong body tackler, though. When he almost like – you ever heard of like the alligator death roll? Like once he's latched on, he's just going to roll you till he gets what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of that. Like he's not like thumping you and crashing into you.
Right.
It's more classic form. Like he's wrapping you up and he's dragging you to the – like rugby tackle. He's just dragging you to the ground.
Right.
Really highly productive. He brings special teams value. I believe he was a four-phase special teamer at Pitt. But he just, you know, is what he is. Nothing special. I could probably say if there was a guy, if you had to tell me, who do you think would be like the Jack Sanborn of this class at this moment, I would argue it could be him. Cause I don't even know if he gets picked, but he shows high level intelligence. He's a good enough, not a great athlete. He's not like watching Aubrey Miller there, but, and he's he's sure-handed. You're not just going to run through him like the way you might if a tight end has a head of steam on DeMarvion Overshown. He might just run through him because DeMarvion doesn't want those problems.
I mean, like you're talking about, I hope that Trenton Simpson could stand up to Will Mallory, given that you're not going to get much lighter in the NFL. And I don't know that Simpson, or I don't know that he can. The two may mutually agree to take each other out of the play, but that's the best case scenario.
Yeah,
defensively, right. So you make it sound like, because Cervoka was one of the only other players that I really didn't get the chance to watch, you make it sound like though he's got legitimate late round value.
He does. I think he does. Mm-hmm. Like, is it going to be a sixth or seventh round pick? Maybe. Is it going to be undrafted? Could be. I don't know. I know that when he plays, he's instinctive. He doesn't seem to be caught with his pants down a lot, but it just seems like he also knows what his incapabilities are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got pretty long arms. I mean, he's got roughly 33-inch arms, which puts him at 69th percentile in the linebacking class. Huge hands, but so many of these linebackers are coming in like so short and small that it's funny. I mean, hey, you don't get to control the class every year. And if anything, looking at these spider charts, Danny, makes it clear to me just how much of a capital F freak Tremaine Edmonds is. Like, we don't need to make this all about Edmonds, but it's like linebackers his size just do not come around.
No, it's why, you know, for the lack of actual instincts, I fell in love with Sanders like after the first quarter of one. I was like, this dude is just different, like in terms of the physical makeup of him.
Mm-hmm. If you had to pick, I know you already picked Campbell, but like, if you had to guess how many linebackers go in the first two rounds?
Three.
Okay. Maybe four. Three feels like a good number.
Three or four. Four feels high, though, because I don't even know that Campbell makes it in the first round, man.
I don't think so.
It'd be a team at the back end who feels like they're a title contender, and they're like, we're just missing that special defender away.
Which is really stupid, if you ask me, Danny. Not because I don't dislike a lot of these linebackers. I think a lot of these linebackers flat better than a lot of the linebackers I watch. I mean, if linebacker, let me put it this way, Danny, as good as Nick Morrow is, I would trade him for Trenton Simpson, like, so to speak, in the 2022 Bears defense immediately. Like, it don't make it sound like I'm stuck on Simpson. I'd take Sanders. No. I'd take Tua Tuo. I'd take Campbell. I'd take Overshown over somebody like Nick Morrow. And it's not because I hate Nick Morrow. It's because talent is talent. It's just a little bizarre to me, not to take us on a too extreme a tangent, Danny, that the NFL simultaneously values linebacker at $20 million a year, but also is probably going to let Jack Campbell fall pretty doggone far. Which
it's weird, because I feel like what we've reached is almost like it's funny enough, it's the same, it's the other position I'm in charge of for this, you know, this project. You want the special, but it feels like the average, like the run of the mill, like stopgap, this guy can start for us right now, is just so much easier to find than they ever were.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the average bench player in the NBA is just so much better than they were 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
because they're just getting better. Like,
if anything, Danny, this conversation has me wondering if we're underprojecting some of these coverage backers, where it has me just begging the question, because you know these guys aren't paying. Like, the Bears didn't just pay Tremaine Edmonds $72 million to fit the run. The Ravens didn't pay Roquan Smith $100 million to fit the run. These guys are getting paid to cover to cover receivers. And so the guys that we've highlighted here, like Overshown, like Simpson, maybe Papo, even Campbell, like, it has me wondering whether you'd look at them, you'd see their potential for coverage, you bump them up a half round. Because you and I are just trying to – we're trying to grade them. But then when we go to the part in our rubric where we go through positional importance, we're just kind of guessing based on what we think the NFL feels, you know?
Right. So, and because by virtue of that, like you're saying, like I inherently, like I might have a third round grade on someone, but I push them down to four because it's a linebacker or it's a running back. Like, just because that's how the league is trending in a way, except for when they're not. And they're giving $100 million to an inside linebacker.
Exactly. Because now people are picking up franchise tags on running backs because it's easier than negotiating with them. I mean, that's a $10 million franchise tag. I believe the franchise tag has actually gone down on running backs, which is that hilarious. Because franchise tag obviously is the average of the top five salaries at running back. And so as contracts like the Gurley contract and others have fallen off, I think in a rising gap, running backs are making less money than they ever did, which RIP running backs. But
yeah, look at poor Austin Eckler, one of the most consummate super
running backs
for today's league.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to pay him.
Like, nobody can figure out what it is because they know paying a running back is just a poor business choice. But you know, Eckler should be worth it by every stretch of the imagination.
I think it's just the thing. It used to be like the 30 number was the scary thing. It's really 29 for running backs because all that buildup and those that punishment really is what takes their toll. It's so much.
But either way, Danny, you and I could talk about running backs and linebackers for an awful long time. We probably will, but we got to end the episode at some point. Thanks so much for jumping on and talking through some backers with me. How many backers do you think we have left? Or is this the only 10 you think we'll do?
You know, it's hard because I could probably – I've watched a couple more. By a couple, I mean like four or five more. But, like, there's a couple I could throw in there, but it's just one of those things, like, I just don't know how much of a need or even a look the Bears are going to need. Because this is a Bears-centric show, right?
Yes.
Like, they've signed three linebackers.
Right.
Like, there's – and I don't even really want to pound the table for many of them just because – doesn't really matter much.
That was their premier position in free agency.
Yeah, that's like their most recent signing was even a linebacker. Granted, he's a special teams ace, but it's just one of those things. Like, how many of them are they going to want to carry? Now, Eberflus cutting his teeth in that regard. Maybe he wants to carry six of them.
Maybe,
but I don't know.
I'm kind of there too. Where I'm like, I could see somebody like Dorian Williams maybe a little lower. But then again, Danny, I have a bad habit. I'm sure you do too, of going, man, this kid rules. And then guess what? He's a third rounder because he does rule. And I mean, we're not just, the only ones who see
like,
it.
To your point, though, like we talked about it with Sanders. Couldn't you just see him falling for some reason, like to the middle of the fourth round and the Bears are just staring at him in the face? And it's like,
yeah,
guys, he's here. Can I have him?
Right. I mean, getting a little bit of youth at linebacker certainly insulates you from whatever may happen. It's a violent position and fall offs happen quick. It's what nobody wants to talk about, but good depth is a good thing. Right. And so we'll see what the Bears do. But either way, maybe we do like a linebacker running back wrap up episode where we effectively finish out both position groups. But either way, Danny, thanks so much for hanging out. And folks,
thanks for having me.
We will see you guys in the next one. Yeah.